It's not black mould, it's just a feature wall.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95BFM.
Morena Celine, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm not too bad other than my croaky voice, I'm all right.
That's good to hear. It's nice to chat with you. We've got some crises going on and renting situations around the Motu, so we'll get stuck into it. What's the first one here, Zoe?
This person says, I forgot to remind my property manager to fix things in my house that weren't Healthy Homes compliant, and it's now been over 90 days since I moved in. If I ask now, is there still a time frame I can give them that that the work needs to be completed by? Thanks.
Okay, well, from my understanding, basically it's not your responsibility to make sure it's done. So
yep.
It's something that they need to do to abide by the new law around healthy homes. So if it's if you've signed a lease since July 2021, in most cases it has to be compliant within 90 days. So it should be compliant already. If it's not, your tenancy agreement should have some kind of intent to comply statement mm-hmm. that says that they will get it done within 90 days. So although now the impetus lies on you to kind of make, prod them or follow up and make sure that someone knows that they're not compliant, that they're not complying, it should be happening anyway. So they're mm-hmm. already in breach of that there. So it's not there's no time frame. They're already over the 90 days. They're already non-complying. So you can kind of act straight away. There are a few things where, like, if you live in an apartment or a certain kind of age of building, there's some things that mean they don't have to comply to certain things. So I would look on tenancy services, and they've got a few guides to stuff like that. But in general, I would say they're breach, and it's kind of time to make sure that's happening.
We've talked before about going to the tribunal and how it's quite a stressful
yeah.
thing potentially for renters to do, because it's not a very even balance of the power dynamic there. But could you talk a little bit about what mediation is? Because that's not quite the same, and it is another step. So maybe before you actually go into a case, if you have to sort of have an issue come up with your property manager, could you talk to mediation a little bit for us, Celine?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I have not gone through a mediation process, so if anyone has more experience with that, that could be useful. But basically what it seems like is that if you're in contact with your landlord and something is not happening, the first step before the tenancy tribunal is that they try and work things out between you and your landlord.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different services available to try and kind of stop it going all the way to the tribunal.
Mm.
So you could easily have an issue that gets resolved before having to go all the way there. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of the intention.
And
it doesn't have to go there.
Yeah, and I think my understanding is that it's also, it doesn't go on your record in the same way that going to the tribunal does. Mediation is kind of a private thing that happens between you and your landlord with someone from tenancy services there to mediate, rather than it becoming a thing that, you know, your future property manager could search up if you've ever had to take a property manager to the tribunal before. So there's always that as an option if you're having trouble like this person sounds like they are.
That's a good point. It seems more informal as well,
yeah.
in terms you can always do that and then stop the process and that's all you do, and it's a good option.
We've got someone who wants to know about green and red flags when they're looking for flatmates. They say, hello, I need to find a new flat because my current one just isn't working out. I don't get on very well with my flatmates and I need to get out of here. What would you say are some questions to ask the new flats I go and see? Any green or red flags? I've lived in so many subpar flats and I really don't want it to happen again.
I love the use of green and red flags as language for this.
Yeah.
it's always more fun, you know. but I think probably in the same way as people that are using green and red flags for, like, dating or something,
mm-hmm.
it's very contextual. So I guess what is it about the flat you're currently in that isn't gelling? It's like, I think it's thinking about, like, I don't have great advice because it really depends on you
yeah.
kind of reflecting on what you want your living situation to be like and thinking about your priorities of, like, whether you want a social flat with people you know quite well, or whether you want a space at home to be like really quiet and relaxed, and you're not really worried about seeing the other people you live with. Or I think it's really about reflecting on what hasn't worked and then looking actively for that next time. But it seems super contextual to me, and it's really just asking questions about maybe the kind of flatmate that that flat is looking for as well, so you can kind of judge what the expectation is as well. You guys might have advice too, because I feel like this is something that everyone kind of struggles with.
Any red flags, green flags in your experience, Zoe?
Oh man, I've lived in some bad flats.
There's so many.
I don't know. I always think a green flag, and this is just me because I like things to be organized and written down, but I like having a flatmate contract to have a look over.
Yeah.
And I like having things signed because I think that makes any issues much easier to deal with. I also think looking for like how much time your flat will expect, like how much notice they expect if you want to move out. I think that's a good thing to look for as well, because I've been caught out by that. And asking what their relationship with their landlord's like is a good one as well.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because it's like it may not even be the flat itself, but it's the kind of, I definitely know people and myself who have lived in flats where the relationship with the landlord is quite intense and kind of a constant presence in the flat, and that is something else there. Also, having it in writing, having a flatmate agreement is always a great idea. We don't tend to do that as much as we probably should, but that is good. And also if you are not so certain and there's a situation where you don't have to be on the lease, that probably is easier for you as well to kind of move on to a different flat.
Yeah.
So it's things like that, just keeping yourself baby protected, and then just trying to judge whether it's compatible or not, you know?
Totally.
Make an inventory of your stuff. So when you're moving out, you don't have to be like, that's my colander. And someone says, no, it's not, it's mine, but you know that it's yours.
That People sounds list. Like you're speaking from some experience there, maybe, Zoe. There's a colander in a flat with your name on it.
I miss that blue colander. Anyway.
We've got our last one here from someone who says, can you please explain rent increases? My rent's already quite expensive, and I live in fear that after a year of living here, it'll be raised. Can my landlord raise it to whatever they want? And also, would I be able to dispute it if I couldn't afford it? These are very, very good questions.
Yeah, we do all live in fear, I would say. especially when you feel like you're already pushing the boat out to afford something just. So, unfortunately, they can raise it to kind of whatever number they wish, which seems like a problem, in my opinion, but has not been dealt with yet. So there is a change in that. Until recently, they could raise the rent kind of more than once a year. Now it's only once a year. They can raise it to kind of whatever number they think is appropriate, but the only kind of safeguard we have in place is that it needs to be what's considered market rent. So if it is far beyond what the other places are charging in your neighbourhood, you can argue that that is not appropriate. If it is a significant jump as well, you can dispute it and say that like that's going to be hard to afford. So there are things to do, absolutely. And if it seems unreasonable, absolutely dispute it. It's just there's not that much support in place other than saying it's not appropriate to more than the standard of market rent, which is very kind of ridiculous measure. So it's something that really needs to be thought about, and I know that that's been a focus of some different organisations, like Renters United have been doing a lot of work around having to prove why you're raising the rent and to show that there's something that has changed to the property materially to charge more money for it.
True.
So hopefully there's some action there. At the moment, I would just say definitely dispute it. It's like one of those mediation situations. You could appeal to your landlord and explain that you love living there, and there's ways to kind of try and stop that happening. It's just kind of a tricky informal way. It is also annoying for them to have to find new tenants. So it's not necessarily that it's going to be, if you dispute it, that you're going to get, you know, kicked out in some way. Obviously that is a fear, but if you have a good relationship with them and you say that that's really hard for you to afford, I would, you know, keep my fingers crossed, but At least we only have to worry about it once a year, right?
Exactly. Hey, thank you so much, Celine, for answering everyone's questions today. Have a great rest of your week and we'll talk to you in a fortnight.
Talk to you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.